Is TikTok getting banned? Tech jobs are still being cut. And why are all the women leaders leaving the room? Hello, everyone, and welcome back or welcome to the Daily Tech Roundup podcast. My name is High Power Danny, and I am your host. I have a packed episode for us this week, so let's jump in. So the first headline is TikTok getting banned. And why is Biden so pressed on getting this app out of the hands of millions of Americans? So recently, the House committee voted on March 1st, 2023 to advance legislation to help make it easier to ban TikTok from the U.S. users. The government's hope is to crack down on Chinese-related economic activities. And they think that the company that is the maker and host of the app TikTok is using the information and data that they get from the TikTok app and being forced to share that information to the Chinese government. If the committee is continued to kind of fast track this bill, then the Biden administration will be able to impose a countrywide ban on TikTok under the IEEPA, which stands for the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. This would be a way for them, they believe, to protect the American people, because the administration believes, like I said earlier, that the company ByteDance is providing our PII data to the Chinese government. So TikTok is like, hey, you have no proof of this. Why are you trying to ban our business? Why are you trying to ban this particular app that's being enjoyed by millions of people around the world and not just in America, just because you feel or you believe that the Chinese government is forcing our hand to share you all's data? Because it's really no proof. I haven't seen any proof. I haven't seen any headlines that they are specifically doing this. So I think right now, a lot of the content creators and certain spokespeople from TikTok are speaking up and feel that this legislation would be in direct conflict with our freedom of speech. And the Berman Amendment Protections for Electronic Information. So basically, we are at this kind of crossroads of like, how much of this is freedom of speech? How much of this is this particular company not able to be held accountable for what their particular government does? So it is definitely a delicate dance. But as my listener, I want to know, how would this affect you? Are you a daily user of the TikTok app? Is this app really a means of national security and putting us at risk against the Chinese government? Because these are like all the questions that I ask myself. Because when I look at TikTok, I look at it as a place that I can share my unique view of the world. I don't have that many followers currently, but the followers that I do have definitely interact with me and love the content that I put out. I do mostly like lifestyle content. I do content like on my daily life, me going to the gym, me going being a foodie around Raleigh and just trying new places. And I like having an avenue to share those kind of pieces with the world. So it's like I just put my content on there for others to consume and also to interact and provide feedback and just like build a community. But other creators use TikTok as a means to take care of their expenses every month. They take care of their family from the money they earned in the creator fund. I think these ideas and reasons for the expedition of the bill to be passed by the Biden administration is really coming from a place of speculation and not actual fact. But I don't want to be seen as a liar or if I'm an expert on this or anything like this, but like, I'm not like a national security analyst. I'm not a cybersecurity analyst. But I feel that more people are getting so many benefits, such as laughter, from the TikToks that they watch and the way that they can share and creators can continue to build a community, I think is a very positive place. And I feel that everything has to be looked at on different sides. I don't think you can just be skewed to one side and feel like, oh, okay, no, this is a national security situation and we can confirm that right now Chinese governments are taking our social security numbers and looking at what we do over here in America and gonna plan an attack. But then also, I don't feel like we need to be so naive to think that that's not a way for it to be used. I think that as long as this clear communication between the company, I'm sorry, what was the name? The company, ByteDance, and the US government, and if they do an audit, they should be able to provide whatever it is that the government is looking for, just to maintain that it's not compromised. But hey, hopefully we're able to find like a happy median and this legislation isn't passed, because I think it would be detrimental to the creatives out there that use it as a main place of them to grow their audience, use it as a way to connect with different people. It has been a place where you can learn a lot of different things, especially people that have family members that have dementia. It can be a place where you can find solace and you can, you know, enjoy yourself on that particular app, as long as you don't get into the terrible cycle of just the constant scrolling. But that's a discussion for another day. But if any changes occur, I'll make sure that I keep you all updated. And also in my show notes, I'm definitely going to put down an article that I used during my research of this particular episode that I got from CNN that provides like more information about what the House is doing and how it's going to affect us if the Biden administration decides to kind of strong arm the situation and ban us from being able to use TikTok. But let us switch gears. We all know or heard the big headlines of the tech giant companies that were laying off thousands of people. And we have a company that is quote unquote late to the party. Ericsson is planning to cut about 8,500 jobs around the world to lower their costs. If you don't know the company Ericsson, it's one of the biggest telecom providers of 5G mobile networks. So basically the 5G modem pieces that Apple puts in their phone, basically every big phone company puts in their phone, Ericsson is one of the main makers of those chips, radio receivers, whatever you want to call them, in order for us to be able to tap into the power of 5G. So I am very frustrated with this, because it's like, all of these tech companies, do you all not have accountants? Do you not have data analysts, business analysts, data scientists that you can use to do projections of financials quarters in advance in order to have a bottom line on the finances and, you know, the approval of these insane packages of hiring different people on at these different companies? Don't get me wrong. Yes, you've earned that 100,000 plus salary, those bonuses, you know, the unlimited PTO, but with all things, it comes at cost. And I think that right now we are seeing all of the moments of this mismanagement of funds. We're living out in real time the mismanagement of funds, the mismanages of bonuses, the mismanages of the C-suite people getting these astronomical salary packages to not really do anything. And it's frustrating, because I'm like, why even hire these people if you don't know if you're going to have the money 6 months from now, or a year from now, 18 months from now, 24 months from now? And with no warning, just fire them, just lay off whole departments, just gone. It happened to me. I was currently working with a company. I was there about 6 months or so. When I was hired, it was told to me, oh, it's going to be so much trajectory, so much growth. We're growing month over month. We're making so much more money. And then all of a sudden, I get an email with HR, my director and my manager, and I'm being laid off. And it's because of a poor quarter, and they had to cut costs and cut people. And last in, first out. And that was me. And it had a traumatic experience for me because basically I had no livelihood. I had to depend on the approval of a French package. I had to wait on unemployment. It was a very humbling experience because I had to take a part-time job and doing something that was totally not related to tech at all. And it could have all been avoided if I was told up front that, hey, this may not be a long-term position, so it may be like a contract thing, but hopefully you want to join the team. And or they could have even offered me less money. I would have accepted that if it meant that I would still be able to maintain employment and not have to depend on not even a quarter, not even half, not even a third of what I was making in unemployment. So hopefully with this great purge that all of these tech giant companies, maybe the C-suite and upper management people could really look at how much money they're making and see the humanness of keeping those people on board by taking a pay cut, by not accepting a particular bonus. Just so other people that work hard for companies, that built companies, that put in countless overtime hours to complete projects, to complete that code, to fix that error, to fix that situation that was going on with the client, could have a job and not be jobless or dependent on their savings or have to go through the unfortunate route of seeking unemployment. Because sometimes they won't approve your employment if your former employer is not willing to fill out certain paperwork. And with all those people, of course, HR is overwhelmed. So it's like, how are we really going to be able to get in contact with HR if we have to complete something in order to get our unemployment approved? I just think that with this great purge that all of these tech companies are going through and firing people, that they really take a look at their financials, really take a look at what kind of packages they're offering to future employees and understand that, hey, this is not fair. This is not fair to those people that have been very dedicated to your particular company, and just see that, hey, you're really hurting certain people that didn't have the luxury of having a lot of their money saved or don't want to cash out their stock options. But I think that after this particular thing, that a lot of people that are now in the hiring pool will understand that these jobs can be lost just like that. The time and the age of being at a company for 30 years, 40 years, back in the time of our grandparents and our great-grandparents is not so much a thing now. And that the relationship between employer and employee is one that can be terminated on either end, especially here in America. I don't know the process that happens in other countries, but I know here in America, if you don't feel like you're a great fit for a company anymore, if you don't feel like they are giving you your worth, if you don't feel like you're getting the things out of your employee that you need to grow, then you can terminate that relationship and put in a 2-week notice or just never come back. So I hope that through this, there's a lot of introspective conversations that you have with yourself as an employee. So if you were affected by this and you're listening to this podcast, I'm definitely sorry that that happened to you. But look on the bright side. Whatever door closed, whatever no that you're getting, you've gotten, all you need is one yes to change the trajectory of your life and to help you get back to the place that you were in. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't stay in that depression too long. Make sure that you're out here, you're marketing yourself, you're creating yourself, you're creating your brand, work on those resumes. And hey, if I'm not saying that you should, but if you could put Twitter on your resume, there's no way for them to verify that you work there. FYI. But so our next topic that I want to talk about, and also to celebrate Women's History Month, I wanted to talk about this headline. A generation of high profile women tech leaders have stepped aside. What's next? Just let that headline soak in for a moment. For me, I said, oh, wow. We women are already far and in between in the tech industry. You hear countless stories of how we just want to get in the room and be recruited to be a CEO or a director of a division, but women in leadership are leaving their post. First, we have Meta's chief business officer, Marna Levine, announced that she would be leaving the company after she served for 13 years. Then we have Susan Ryshiski announced that she is stepping down from her leadership role at YouTube. So we hear that being a woman in tech is not taken seriously, and we have to constantly prove our worth more than our male counterparts due to the stereotypes of Silicon Valley and tech giants being normally a quote-unquote boys club. So I want to ask you all this. Will the tech industry continue to perpetuate this narrative? I feel that they are going to continue to perpetuate this narrative, because time over time, anytime I join a new company, majority of the staff that are in tech are white males. And also, let's ponder this question. When will we see a black woman CEO of Apple? When will we see a black woman CEO of Microsoft? When will we see a black woman CEO of Google? Why is it so unheard of that we are seen as equal with males in tech, even if oftentimes, we have more education and have the same experience, if not more? I so look forward to a balance in the tech industry, and would be curious to know what the tech companies plan to do to recruit more female talent in leadership positions. When will diversity be shown and not simply talked about? Because every company that I've worked for thus far, I've probably had a female manager in tech specifically about maybe twice. And all the other times, my managers have been white males. And most of my team have been white males. I can count on my hand the number of times I've had team members that were black female, even less than that. So I think that enough diversity is not being pursued. I feel that enough people in the positions of power are not people that we typically see. It's hard when you work in tech and you don't see a reflection of yourself and the people at the top. It's very far and in between that you work for a company where there is a black woman in the C-suite. There's a black non-binary person in the C-suite. There is a black lesbian woman in the C-suite or a director or even more rare, a CEO. I just think that for Black women to be the most educated, we're not represented in those positions of power and those positions of leadership. And I feel that in order to have a very well-rounded organization, you need to have our voice on the board. You need to have our voice in those discussions with employees, because we work hard. We as women, and then we as specifically for myself, Black women, work extremely hard in interviews to set ourselves apart from those that have interviewed before us. I don't have the strongest skill set, but I am a very hard worker. I am a person that will teach myself different things. And I think that a lot of women have that same tenacity, yet we aren't able to speak at those tables. And I really feel that tech as a whole needs to do a better job at this. It's important. The time is now. It's 2023 to have that real diversity of thought, diversity of gender, diversity of race, diversity of gender identity, diversity of sexual orientation in the room to be able to lead the organization in a way that is towards growth, towards well-roundedness, towards innovation. And it can't be done if everyone in the room looks the same way, sounds the same way, walks the same way, goes to the same places. Definitely the time is now. And I found some great articles on CNN about this and how they're calling this an end of an era. And I definitely don't want to accept that tech is saying that this is the end of an era. I don't want tech to sit back and say, oh yeah, well, I mean, that's how it should be, because it shouldn't be. It just simply should not be. And I hope that we can turn those headlines around into something more positive, more empowering. And if I see those headlines, you best believe that I'm going to place it in an article, because I do write on Medium. So if you ever want to find my writing on there, you can find me under High Power. I definitely want to continue to grow the podcast YouTube channel. So if you're not on there, make sure you go and follow. But I want to leave you all with this. The issues of tech company layoffs, women leaving leadership roles in tech, and the potential ban of TikTok by the Biden administration all point to the need for more equitable and a just tech industry. Companies need to prioritize their employees and create an environment that fosters diversity and inclusion. Women and underrepresented groups need to be supported and encouraged to stay in leadership roles. As for TikTok, while concerns about data privacy are valid, a blanket ban must not be the most effective solution. The tech industry must work together with policymakers to find a balance between protecting user data and allowing innovation to flourish. Ultimately, creating a more ethical and inclusive tech industry will benefit everyone, from employees to users to society as a whole. Remember, techies, be sweet to yourself and others, because you never know what someone is going through. Make sure you follow me on all of the things. I will leave all the article links in the show notes for you. And if you want to send me any emails or you want to continue this conversation, make sure you hit me up on all of the platforms, all of the things, and we can continue to grow this conversation and continue to allow my community to find me. Until next episode, peace and blessings.